Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Monday morning, bright and early. It's that all-important time once again. What better way to start off your week rock and roll style than with us right here, the Decibel Geek Podcast. I'm Aaron Camaro, joined as always by my main man right here, Chris Sinzak. What's up, brother?
I'm super excited because I just found out Brittany Fox is getting back together again.
Yeah, Yes. Totally. We did that, man.
It's all because of us.
We did that last week right here, Buried Treasure. Everybody around the world listened to it. Brittany Fox heard it, and they said, you know what? Those guys are right. So even as far as with that lineup, mm-hmm. that we talked about right here last week. We are putting the world back together.
Yes.
We're getting it back on its rock and roll axis.
We get, and I think we should get 10% of all profits. And by the end of the first month, we should be able to buy a cup of coffee.
So we still need you to hit that donate button either way on the decibelgeek.com. It's always there, big bright letters, can't miss it.
Yes, I made sure it was in big bright letters. Also,
we're doing our part to put back some of the greatest bands of all time. Yes. You know, help us out.
That's right. Led Zeppelin, you're next. I'm getting my Ouija board out.
Yeah.
We had a huge response to the Buried Treasure 2 show. A lot of people liked it and, you know, said it brought back memories of songs and albums that they had forgotten about. And
that's all about.
Most of those albums you can buy on Amazon.
Totally. They're all available on Amazon. But the thing is this, if you're going to go get these albums, and that's what we're all about here at the Decibel Geek Podcast, that's what we want you to do. We want you to go buy these albums. We want you to support these artists because, hey, your favorite band, just like Brittany Fox, might check out the Decibel Geek Podcast this week and get back together. You never know. We're all rocking and rolling together. You can help us out. The best way to do it is you're buying your music. You're buying anything. You go to Amazon.com. But first, you go to DecibelGeek.com. You go through the banner. It's right there at the top of the page. You can't miss it. Amazon.com. It's going to take you there. Anything and everything you buy, they're going to give a little kickback right here to the show, right to the Decibel Geek Podcast. Your boys, you're helping us out.
That's right.
And it doesn't cost you a penny extra. So, you know, whatever shopping you're doing, do it through us.
And
help
also,
us out. We love you for it.
And we don't get to see the names of who's buying the stuff, but we do get a report of what is bought.
And yes, we're going to reveal it.
Very soon, we're going to start revealing some of the purchases. So if you want to hear what you bought, some of you guys are sick.
sick and twisted.
In the next couple of weeks, we'll be reading off some of the purchases from Amazon.
That's going to be fun. Hey, another thing we like to do is check in on our Facebook action because there's always a great conversation going on Facebook. You want to keep up with everything Decibel Geek? You do it at the website. You're going to find all your awesome articles and stuff there, your t-shirts, everything you want at decibelgeek.com. But what I'm talking about right now is Facebook. You got to get over there and like us. We're well over 2,000. Now people keep liking us more and more every single day. That tells me one thing: rock and roll is alive and well in 2015. And another thing that you can do there is send us messages. And we got an awesome one this week, and I want you to check it out. This is from Chris Hoskin, and he's over in the UK. It says, "Hi, Chris and Aaron. I hope you both are well. You'll recall that when I emailed you previously, I was in the middle of catching up on all the back episodes of Decibel Geek. Much of that has been done while in the car with my wife, Maddie, in the passenger seat. While Maddie isn't the world's biggest rock music fan and usually reads or plays on her phone while I'm listening to Decibel Geek, she is catching on to rock music steadily and has, in fact, been to a few gigs with me. She's seen Heat twice, Rival Sons twice. We love that band.
Yeah.
And Steel Panther. Wow, I wonder what she thought of that. Most recently, she has become quite a Kiss fan, late 70s era. So she's into the Dynasty, huh?
Good nice. Album.
From hearing stuff I played and stuff she's heard on Decibel Geek. Imagine my surprise last week when she told me that she'd been looking to buy something on Amazon and remembered to go via the link on the Decibel Geek website. Nice. Unfortunately, she said she couldn't get through from the UK, so we'll have to figure
that
out.
I'll have to look into that.
It seems that more Decibel Geek is seeped into her consciousness than I had imagined. Maybe we have a candidate for an honorary Geek of the Week. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and we are both enjoying every show very much. That's from Chris.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you for spreading the disease to your wife.
It's very good. I think absolutely that's an honorary Geek of the Week mention, and absolutely. You know, that's very cool. I like to hear that.
So, yeah, Chris Hoskin and Mrs. Chris Hoskin, you guys are honorary Geeks of the Week.
So cool.
So speaking of Geeks of the Week, we should get to the rest of them. These are the people that shared on Facebook and retweeted on Twitter last week's Buried Treasure 2. Geeks of the Week this week are Pat Catalano, David Alpazar, Aaron Baker, Robin Bennett, Mike Stewart, Matt Ashcraft, Brent Walter, Robert DePasqua, Shane Hebert, Devin Fox, Anthony Poole, Trevor McDougall, Wayne Cross, Billy Hardaway, Mark Alden Taylor, Colin Francis, PJ Brown, Paul Korn, Mike Blunt, Ian Wadley of the Rock and Metal Combat Podcast, Warren Money, James Brendan Dunn, Joe Royland, Justin Hayes, Cal Hens, Joe Lescon, Baco, Rob Harris, Matt Severson of Paperback Rocker Podcast, Joseph C. Mbelli, Wayne Newbern, Brant Cattell, Chad Pollock, Sit and Spin with Joe Stealth, Hoops, DC, Music Mags and Wax, Jens Helberg, Dan Chaput, Sean Franklin, Armando Cerna, TJ Cullen, Stephen Atchison, The Mooger Fooger, Podcasts Are the Best, Jerry Wiley, and The Rockin' Donkey.
So that is our marketing department and our best friends in the whole freaking world. I love those guys.
Absolutely.
Sharing it for us every single week. New people coming on board all the time. We like it, but we especially love the people that have been with us since the very beginning.
Totally. Yeah, you guys are awesome. We couldn't, you know, we'd have fun just talking to ourselves, but it's nice right. to know that other people listen too.
Well, it's funny when it first started out when it was like, geez, I wonder, ourselves. Yeah, if is anybody going to even listen to this? And now look, you know, we're doing pretty
and
good
back
for
then
ourselves.
It was only if you talk about Vinnie Vincent, but yeah, but that's changed.
You know, someday we hope for you guys that someday you'll be able to say, I remember the Decibel Geek podcast when it first started. Now look at those guys.
Yep.
And so we're almost there. So we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So we got something special going on today. We thought we'd just have a little fun and play some kick-ass music. Because basically what this comes down to is just an excuse to play some kick-ass music.
Of course.
As usual with the Decibel Geek podcast. So today what we're talking about is awesome album openers. You know, when you get an album, you got to have that song right off the bat that kicks you in the face. You know, some albums have it, some albums don't. But today we're going to showcase ones that most definitely do.
And, you know, and this is by far not a definitive top five or anything. Like, it changes all the time on what my top ones would be.
We could do 150 of these.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think a lot of our, it's funny, a lot of our themes, you could do an entire podcast based on that one theme.
Right, yeah.
But we like to mix it up. So,
yeah, we do.
So, you know, just like with Buried Treasure that you heard before, you know, you'll probably hear us do another album openers because there's lots of good ones.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, you gotta put the album opener out to grab the audience by the throat and say, this is what this album represents.
Right. And
so
this
it's a very important
track. Ride we're about to go on. Yeah. And here we go.
It has to set the tone for the album. You know, albums, the people that listen to our show appreciate albums.
Right.
Younger people don't know what an album is anymore. It's like, hey, it's a song on iTunes. I'll download it.
Right.
You know, but like albums are a special thing. And, you know, especially if we play older tunes, you know, the album, the opening song has to tell the story all on its own.
So today we can't play full albums. That's just too much. We'd be here too long. So today we're just going to focus on the album openers, and we've got some great ones lined up for you today. Some maybe a little questionable, but I guess that's a good place to start.
We've seen each other's picks and we might have issues. I wanted to pick a Kiss tune to start off the show. And man, Kiss has a lot of great album openers.
Yeah, you know, they're good at it.
You know, Unholy would have been an easy choice.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been a good one. Psycho Circus, as much as I don't like the album as
That's
a whole.
A fantastic album
It's
opener.
A great song to open an album. And then it went downhill from there. But yeah, I hate that album. But let's talk about the Kiss album Asylum from 1985.
Okay.
You know, this is not a go-to album for a lot of Kiss fans.
Sure, but we're not talking about the best Kiss albums here. We're talking about album openers.
The good openers. And this was their 13th studio album, certified gold, November of 1985. And I'm going to play the album opener. It's a song called King of the Mountain.
It's a great song.
And this song was written by the team of Paul Stanley, Bruce Kulick, and Desmond Child. And that guy wrote a few songs for a few people.
I trust those three.
So this is Kiss with a great document of the late, great Eric Carr at the beginning of this song.
Yes.
This is Kiss with King of the Mountain. All their pastel glory, that's Kiss from Asylum with King of the Mountain.
And some people might bag on it, but you're right, man. That is an awesome album opener.
It's a cool song.
It's a good aggressive tune. It really grabs you.
Although I was playing through my choices the other day. Like after we make our picks, I'll pretty much run the songs in order through my computer a few times in a row just to listen to them. And I was playing this one the other day, and my wife walked in the room and she heard it. She goes, "King of the Mountain, really?"
I am.
Yeah,
I am the king of
I'm
mountains.
Like, you don't think that's good? She's like, that's so lame. And I'm like, it wasn't lame in 1985.
You wouldn't understand. You're a woman. You wouldn't know what it's like to be king of the mountain.
Go listen to your indie rock woman.
Just get out of here. You don't understand me.
Yeah, I love my wife dearly, but man.
It's not her fault. She'll never know what it's like to be king of the mountain.
I said, I don't care, damn it. I like Kiss even if they did look like the fucking Golden Girls are in this town.
Well, with that theme going, I guess we might as well talk about another band with a well-known image, and I'm talking about Twisted Sister. Mm-hmm. Now, the debut album by Twisted Sister comes out in 1982. It's produced by UFO bassist Pete Way. Mm. That sounds like a winning combination to me.
As long as he's a coherent for it, yeah.
Right? Released around the same time as albums like Judas Priest, Screaming for Vengeance, Aerosmith, Rock in a Hard Place, and Kiss, Creatures of the Night. So there's plenty of competition out there for rock and roll. You know, Twisted Sister, this is their debut album, but this band's been around for like 10 years already at this point.
They paid their dues.
So when it comes to the debut album, it's time to make it or break it. And so when you come out with this debut album, you've got to have a song to kick this thing off that's going to punch people in the face and say, hey, we're Twisted freaking Sister, and you better pay attention. And this song was perfect for that. From the debut album Under the Blade, 1982, Twisted Sister, what you don't know sure can hurt you.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to our show. If you've got that problem, same old story. All the same old song and dance. Don't speak of faded glory, cause you won't get a second chance. I want to tell you something. You better take a good hard look.
one else quite like us. The others all get up and go.
See, now that's a kick-ass opening track off a stellar album.
It's, you know, it's a damn shame that they haven't had more album output over the years, because there's not that many Twisted Sister records and in a huge career. But, you know, what a great band. And, you know, we're a little late on this, but rest in peace, AJ Perro. You know,
I was just going to say, you know, with that one, it's got amazing songs on there. The title track, the song Shoot 'Em Down, Day of the Rocker, Destroyer. I love that.
Me too.
This one's 125 on the U.S. Billboard 200, which, you know, back at that time, it's not bad, but it's not great. They got their big times are coming yet to them by this point.
Right.
This album, along with Relentless Touring and Grassroots Popularity, would score them a contract with Atlantic. Within a few years, Twisted Sister would be known worldwide by their outrageously awesome music videos. Just kick ass.
So it made me a fan of rock and roll.
Dee Snider, Mark Mendoza, Eddie Ojeda, J.J. French, and as you said, A.J. Perro. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah, super great drummer. So yeah, that's a good one. Twisted Sister is a good choice. Okay. All right, my next choice is one that Aaron is not going to like. Because this is definitely melodic rock.
But it's Europe, dude.
I loved Europe back in the late 80s. I'm one of the few heterosexual men that will actually admit to it. I love the Final Countdown. I think that's a great album. I even like Carrie, goddammit. It's a good ballad.
Oh, man, I forgot about that song till just now. That hurts. That hurts.
Maybe I should play that.
Not
an album opener. But no, and they even had a song called Ninja. But no, I like Europe from back in the day. I was all about this kind of stuff at the time. And no, a lot of it has not aged well. And it sounds totally like the late 80s.
Oh, totally does.
But this is a damn good album opener, in my opinion.
Okay.
They put out the Out of This World album in 1988. It was their fourth studio album, released on August 9th. It peaked at number 19 on the Billboard charts, and it's got over 1 million in sales.
Yeah.
Produced by a hit-making producer at the time, Ron Nevison, who we've talked about in the past.
Lots of times.
He had just finished producing an album called Crazy Nights, which I also will admit that I love. And this song contains one of my all-time favorite guitar solos. You can't deny this is a kick-ass guitar solo. This is Europe from Out of This World with Superstitious. Keep on. Keep on calling my name, I'll be there. And if a mirror should break, it's easy to take. Deep down I know that you care. Well, I'm not superstitious. No. Ooh. I'm not superstitious. No doubt that there's a reason how things turn out. While things are changing from day to day, well, I keep this feeling with me all the way. And I want you to know that you're on my mind every day, all of the time.
Sometimes I wonder when I'm on my own, trying to find out if love has gone. It might make a difference, it might bring me down, but no superstition is gonna turn.
All right, there you go. You did it. You played the Europe, and
Now you want to move to Sweden, right?
Sweden sounds nice. It's probably nice this time of year, but man, that's awesome. That guitar solo freaking ruled.
Yeah, it's an amazing guitar solo. A guy named Key Marcello is the guitar player.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's
that's badass.
It's a mind-blowing guitar solo.
I can see where a lot of like the power metal that we hear today kind of,
very influential.
Got a lot out of Europe.
And, Sweden has a lot of big bands out of it now. You've got Eclipse and Wet and Hardcore Superstar and a lot of those bands, and I think a lot of those bands are influenced by bands like Europe. They were kind of the door openers for,
because like you
bands.
Say Europe's been around all these years. Here in the United States we only heard of them for those few songs, and then it's like whatever happened to them.
They're huge
everywhere else. Yep. And we right before we started we played some of the new Europe, that song, and
War of Kings.
That's pretty cool, man. I was watching that going, I never thought I'd ever say it, but I really like Europe.
It's a great big world out there, the United States is considered a big power, but a lot of you guys listening are not in America, and right. It's as we've learned over the years that we've done this show, there's a lot of great music out there. You just have to find it.
I can imagine somebody living in one of these other countries listening to the Decibel Geek podcast going, silly Americans.
Yeah, I've been going to
bastards.
Yeah, I just saw Europe play at a stadium last week.
Yeah, they're just here. We see them all the time. They're fantastic. I'm sure that happens a lot. Like, this is a buried treasure? No, this is something we play here everywhere you go.
Right. So we're stupid Americans, but, I played a little bit of Europe.
Right. So we're doing our best. You got to give us a chance.
Yeah.
So I guess I got the next pick. Now, it had been 3 years since Alice in Chains had released a full studio album. And after finding success the previous year with Toby Wright in the acoustic EP Jar of Flies, it was time to come back and show that Alice in Chains was still a metal band.
And I was so excited.
Because they're still a metal band. They just haven't shown it in a little while. Knowing Toby the way that we do, it's easy to show while Alice in Chains we're understanding the importance of kicking off this album with a huge punch in the head. And that's exactly what you get with the opener off of their self-titled album from 1995. This is Alice in Chains with Grind. Now, I think that's a great way to herald the return of Alice in Chains in 95. Self-titled debut, of course, goes to number one. It's got a bunch of singles off it. Again, Grind, Over Now, Heaven Beside You. And it's the final Alice in Chains album before the death of Layne Staley in 2002.
Yeah, this is, you and I are going to differ on this like we differed with Europe.
Yeah?
I was so fucking excited for this album to come out when it was coming out. And this is like, there was a lot of, this is back in the day when you would hear like a lot of hype for an album for months before it would come out. And I was in college, and I remember going to the Tower Record Store in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the day that the album came out, super stoked to hear Alice in Chains in their full electric glory, thinking this is going to be Dirt or Facelift Part 2.
Well, no.
And then I heard it, and I was like, this... I'm not going to say the album sucks, because it doesn't suck. There's good material on it.
But it's not all heavy.
But it does not measure up, in my opinion, to those first two albums.
No, I agree. I agree.
It sounds like a band that was kind of out of ideas, honestly.
Well, and to me, it seemed like, you know, they had enjoyed the success of like Sap and Jar of Flies with the acoustic stuff. And so it was almost like they were expected to add more of that kind of stuff in. And then it takes away from the more metal songs that they were so kick-ass at giving us.
In like Heaven Beside You did well at radio.
And it's a good song, but...
But I always thought it's just that song and Grind, the one we just played, you know, it's got good...
I like that one.
It's got good pieces, but I don't think they're good full songs. I think there are like ideas that were half finished. And then, you know, I think the drug abuse may have been a part of that too.
I guess there's only one way to find out for sure. Do an Albums Unleashed on this one with Toby Wright.
I don't want to get punched.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the album, but it has its moments. But yeah, it was a disappointment for me.
All right.
So
you say so.
Okay. So I'm gonna pick a song by a classic band, and this is one of their biggest albums, one of their biggest songs. But I don't give a shit. This is a song that will grab you by the throat as an album opener.
Yes.
Aerosmith released Rocks in 1976. It had three Billboard top 100 singles released from this album. One of the first albums ever to ship platinum.
They were rocking.
This is Aerosmith at their first peak before they hit it big again in the 80s and 90s.
I like the first peak better.
I do too. It's since gone on to go quadruple platinum. And it's a huge, great, awesome song. And I remember I had a friend who was very into Korn and bands and, you know, Slayer and Anthrax back in the 90s and would not give a chance to classic rock. Yeah. And I remember I pulled out the vinyl copy of Rocks and put it on and blasted this song. And after this song was over, he's like, and I remember watching him nod his head during the song. He's like, that's a fucking kick-ass song.
Nice.
So this is Aerosmith from Rocks with Back in the Saddle.
Down the line, I don't know.
can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong with something like that.
For the 70s, that's a heavy fucking song.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
On that song features Joe Perry playing a six-string bass.
Oh, wow.
And Brad Whitford plays the lead guitar part on that.
Oh, wow.
And also found an interesting story. A real bullwhip was intended to be used for the whip effects, and hours were spent trying to get it to crack. The band members ended up cut up and hurt without making any progress.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Eventually, they decided the whip effects would be created by whirling a 30-foot cord from the studio, then by firing a cap gun to create the cap of the crack of a whip.
You got to do what you got to do. You got these crazy guys. They're partying hard. They're supposed to be trying to make this sound effect, but instead they're just playing with it.
And beating the shit out of themselves.
Beating the shit out of themselves and each other.
So, yeah.
Let's try something else. That classic Aerosmith, you got to love it.
It's just genius stuff.
So, I guess we're going to keep going. So, let's stay in the 70s.
All right.
After Led Zeppelin's contract with Atlantic Records ends, they start their own label, Swan Song Records. So, by 1975, they're ready to release their first self-release. And it's an epic double album, Physical Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we don't play too much Zeppelin around here because, Zeppelin's kind of overplayed for the most part.
They get plenty of play on classic rock radio.
Right, and everywhere else. Yeah. So, that's one of them things where we always try to cheer for the underdog, but you cannot deny the power of Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin freaking rocks. So, at this point, to prove that they can make magic without label assistance and to prove that they still are the biggest rock band in the world, because in 1975... oh, hell yeah, Led Zeppelin is the biggest rock band in the world, no doubt about it. Physical Graffiti has got to get off to a start that just explodes, and it's got to be a belter, as Robert Plant would call it, and that's exactly what you get. So from 1975, the classic Physical Graffiti, awesome album, and a great way to kick it off with Custard Pie. that's a belter, right?
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
It's an excellent stuff. That's an excellent pick. It's one of the better album openers.
And then that into the Rover and on down the line. Love the Rover. Shit, man. I think Physical Graffiti is probably my favorite Zeppelin album.
It's a really good one. Yeah.
There's very few songs on there. Like, Zeppelin's always good for hit and miss, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a few misses on there, but a lot of them are weird demos, too.
One of the funniest things I ever saw on Facebook was there's this comedian. He's a comedian named Mike Schmidt, not the baseball player.
Okay.
And he's a big classic rock fan. And one day he posted on Facebook, he says, "Somewhere out there, there's a Led Zeppelin fan whose favorite song is Hot Dog. We must find this person and kill him."
Or Boogie with Stew or something like that. Yeah,
I stole the joke. I credited him later. I used the joke and I said, "Somewhere out there, there's a Kiss fan whose favorite song is Read My Body. We must find this fan and kill him."
Nice. That is funny.
I love it. But yeah, Custard Pie is a good pick.
I like that one.
Okay, so...
Zeppelin.
My next pick, this has a personal meaning for me because I remember I was probably about 13 or 14 when I truly discovered Metallica. Like, I discovered Metallica through the one video, as a lot of kids did.
Right.
And I loved it, but then I was wanting to learn how to play guitar, and I had a friend who knew how to play some Metallica stuff. And I was like, well, I want to learn one and stuff like that. And he's like, well, I want you to hear some early stuff first.
Yeah, no one for you.
Yeah. And
you can't have, and you must hear this.
He eventually taught me, and it's from Ride the Lightning, but he taught me For Whom the Bell Tolls. But he put on the Kill 'Em All album and Hit the Lights came on.
Yeah.
And there's you'll have certain moments in your musical listening life where it's one of those holy shit moments.
Yes. I know exactly what you mean.
Hearing Hit the Lights for the first time was one of those moments. Mm-hmm. I had headphones on and he cranked them up and my jaw dropped.
Yes.
When it really kicked in. And I was just like, I'm never going to hear hard rock or metal again the same after this.
Right.
And to this day, Kill 'Em All is my all-time favorite Metallica album.
I agree.
It may not be their greatest songwriting. It may not be their tightest playing, but there's something
about it.
So fucking reckless and angry about that album that I love it.
You can feel it. Yeah, you can feel it. It's not just that you hear it. You experience it.
Yeah, it's like you get a surge through your body when you listen to this album.
Chris, this is an awesome pick, man.
Oh, thanks. So Kill 'Em All was their debut album, released on July 25th, 1983 on Megaforce Records. It has since been certified 3 times platinum. The band initially intended to title the album Metal Up Your Ass.
Right.
With a cover featuring a toilet bowl with a hand clutching a dagger emerging from it.
I remember the t-shirt.
The t-shirt did out, and a lot of kids wore it to school and pissed off a lot of teachers.
I got in a lot of trouble. Turn that shit inside out.
Yeah, I remember that. And,
yeah, me too.
Megaforce urged them to change this, and they agreed. It's like, we're saying our sales go down that toilet. They switched it to Kill 'Em All, and this song... James Hetfield actually carried the song over from his previous band called Leather Charm.
Oh, wow.
So this is Metallica from 1983's Kill 'Em All with Hit the Lights.
Crank it up.
What?
Man, I know exactly what you mean about how you say you hear something for the first time and it changes your life. I know exactly what you mean. The same feeling with this album. That song.
That's a great song.
Oh, skull crusher.
Yeah. And, you know, and I didn't get to, unfortunately, didn't get to attend the show, but I've listened back when they played the Grimey's Record Store here when Metallica was in town for Bonnaroo.
Yeah, the surprise show.
And I'm pretty sure they opened with this song.
Nice.
And I've listened to it. I'm just like, that song will always give me goosebumps.
Me too. Yeah, that whole album.
Yeah, it's an awesome album.
That's cool. I like that. Excellent pick.
Thank you.
Having fun here today.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I got the next pick. I guess maybe before we go too much further, we're getting towards the end of the show, but we want to remind you guys, as always, these are artists that we love. We know you love them too. You know, that's why you're listening to the Decibel Geek Podcast. So we want to remind you, as always, please support these artists. You know, they're out there. They're putting out new music. They're out there on tour. They got T-shirts for sale. We got T-shirts for sale.
Yeah, we do.
They've got it. They've got albums selling on Amazon. Mm-hmm. We've got an Amazon link on our website. You go to decibelgeek.com. Haven't been there in a while? Holy shit, you're going to freak out when you get there. Because it's looking good. You're going to love it a lot. When you get there, you find the Amazon link. It's not too hard to find.
No,
it's
very easy.
It's right there. Just open your eyes. Look, there it is.
Yep.
So easy. The best thing you can do is take that, click on it, and then use that as your link every time you go to Amazon. Just leave
bookmark
it on your computer. Bookmark it. That way when your wife or your kids or your sister or your brother, whoever's using your computer, they're going to Amazon, they're helping the Decibel Geek Podcast. They don't even know it.
Yeah.
They don't even know they're doing it,
so
but they're helping us.
Even if they listen to like fucking Dubstep and Mumford & Sons, just have them buy that shit through our link.
Right, and then look at them later and be like, thank you. And they'll be like, for what? Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
Just thanks for rock and roll. So that's awesome. That's a great thing to do to help us out and help all these artists that we love to promote and push all the time. That's
Absolutely.
What we're all about here at the Decibel Geek Podcast. And I've got a band. I know a lot of rock and rollers love this band. For me, this was something within the last year or so I've really started to check out because I've heard people talk about them for a long time, but I never really truly gave them a chance, a true chance, and I'm talking about UFO.
Mm.
You know, of course, we've heard Eddie Trunk singing their praises for years, you know, and of course, you know, Michael Schenker, and we can pronounce his name.
Yeah.
See how far I've come as a UFO fan in the last year? I actually can pronounce that guy's name now.
Schenker Therapy.
It's awesome. And you know what? I love it. You know, I got to thank JBT out at JTB for turning me on to it because that's the first CD I got from UFO was when we went and visited his groovy record room.
Yeah.
And, you know, since then, I've been wanting to hear more UFO.
Excellent.
So in 1977, they come out with the awesome album Lights Out.
Mm.
And to come out with an album in 77 like that, you know, Kiss is ruling the world. And, you know, obviously in historical retrospect, we see UFO never got that kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
But this album, nonetheless, would lead on to the live album, Strangers in the Night, that everybody considers their classic.
Totally.
I still like this one.
This one's great, too.
So you got to kick it off strong. You got to kick off this album strong because there's a lot of great songs on it. And I think they did it right. And this is a great tune for you. So from 77, Lights Out, it's the one and only UFO, and they are Too Hot to Handle.
Ah!
See, what do you think of that? You
gotta, I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I love it a lot.
Yeah, UFO is a highly underrated band. We need to. We probably should do a whole UFO discussion one of these days.
Really should. We should get in somebody that really knows what they're talking about. Who's a UFO expert we could get back on the show that could really school us? We'll figure it out.
That never talks about Kiss.
If we could get him on the show just one time just to tell us about UFO.
That'd be interesting.
Eddie Trunk. Everybody put out the word that we want him on the show to school
back,
us
UFO.
On UFO. Just UFO. Nothing else.
That would be cool.
I bet he'd love to do it.
Okay, so I got one more to go.
All right.
And, you know, I said this isn't like a real top five or anything because it changes a lot. I will say at the moment, this is my favorite album opener of all of them.
Okay.
And it's not a Kiss album. And this also comes from a band discussion episode that we've done on the show. So here's me getting educated. Until we had Metal Tim Henderson from Brave Words come on to talk about Judas Priest, I was a peripheral Judas Priest fan. You know, I liked a handful of songs, but I'd never really delved deep into the catalog.
I think I was like you.
Yeah, I know I had a couple albums. I had Screaming for Vengeance and everything. But
right. And there were songs that I knew
songs,
I really liked.
But I was never like big into Priest, you know. And then in preparation for Tim coming on, I started listening to everything, and it's all good. And I was like, man, there's a lot of great stuff here, you know. And I can, like, now I see what the hype's all about,
right?
Especially because there's so much diversity through their catalog too. And you know, like, some people think that's a negative. I think that's a positive. I like seeing bands try, you know, take chances,
right?
Only AC/DC can get away with that,
right?
There's not many AC/DCs out there. So
Metallica can get away with it too, and they probably should.
To a point.
I mean, if they go back to Kill 'Em All,
well, that'd be nice.
That'd be awesome.
But so, you know, so but the picking of Judas Priest, they've had a lot of good album openers too.
Shit, yeah, they have.
But you know, when I was going through all the catalog, I was listening to every album, and I got to Defenders of the Faith that came out in 1984, and then I heard this song, and this song fucking kicked my ass, and I've gone back and listened to it a bunch of times since. This was their ninth studio album, came out January 4th of 1984, certified platinum. And this is Judas Priest with Free Will Burning.
Life. Please be sorry.
The Mighty Judas Priest with Free Will Burning.
That's got to be one of the greatest songs of all time.
That's just an ass kicker from start to finish. And that was recorded at Ibiza Sound Studios in Ibiza, Spain, mixed from September to November 1983 at DB Recording Studios and Bayshore Recording Studios in Coconut Grove, Miami, Florida. And
they're all over the place.
Free Will Burning was the first single on the album and came out in late 1983. So this song came out a few months before the album actually came out.
This song is so fucking kick-ass that not one continent can handle completing the whole thing. We have to spread it out. At least, you know, 100,000 miles from each other for each part of the process, or it could bring apart the end of the world.
Right.
So I'm glad they did that. They took the precaution. Thank you, Priest.
Yeah, it's an amazing song. And
I love it.
If you want to hear some cool Judas Priest stories, listen to our talk with Tom Harper in our archives. He roadied for Priest for a while and had some really good stories about those days.
That was very cool. Yeah, always. You know, everybody's welcome, because we know not everybody that we listed in Geeks of the Week. You know, all them people that are here since so long, you know, been with us every single week. We love them so much.
Finding the show all the time.
Yeah, you might be just discovering this for the first time today because you love UFO and some podcast is actually talking about that band. Holy shit. Maybe,
maybe some robot, you know, turned you on.
Maybe some robot on the internet, turned you on to it with metal balls. They're shiny. I've seen them.
Half the people listening are like, "What the fuck is he talking about?"
I'd say probably more than half. But at any rate, you know, check out decibelgeek.com.
Yes.
Check us out on Facebook. That's where you can get it on the conversation.
iTunes.
iTunes, you know, so important. Take the time. You know, you're new. You're just checking us out. You know, you're digging it. Go back into the archives. Check out some of our older stuff. And then once you get the gist of what's going on around here, leave us a review.
Yes.
Especially if it's 5 stars. We like those.
We love those.
They're shiny. Like balls. Like metal balls.
That took a weird turn.
All right, so I guess we're going to wrap things up for the day. We're having fun. I like this album openers. This one is very cool. I like this one a lot. I think this is a great way to end the show because, of course, after all, we are the Decibel Geek Podcast. Now, we're talking about back in the day, around 84. Kiss didn't wait long after the Lick It Up tour ended to bounce back from losing Vinnie Vincent.
Mm.
They didn't wait around long. They hired Mark St. John and got right to work on Animal Eyes, which came out later that same year.
Mm-hmm.
That gives Gene and Paul the entire year to go around doing interviews, telling the world that Vinnie Vincent was a self-destructive person.
I did almost pick I've Had Enough Into the Fire.
Yeah, that's a great album opener, too.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know, in typical Vinnie Vincent fashion, the guitarist disappears from public for about a year before returning to form the Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
Right.
Now, at this point, Vinnie Vincent has got a lot to prove. And it's going to take a mind-blowing song to kick off this album.
And a mind-blowing video.
And a mind-blowing video. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, too.
Fire.
You know, but you got to think about it. You know, Vinnie Vincent has got a lot to show at this point. You know, Kiss has been on the road for a while. They got a new album out. Vinnie Vincent's kind of been gone for a little bit. He comes back. You know, all anybody knows about Vinnie Vincent is that he was in Kiss and he got kicked out. And Gene and Paul told him that he's a self-destructive person.
Yes.
You know, that's all anybody knows. So he's got to come back and show what he's all about. And I think with this album opener, he totally does. Listen to the guitar fucking playing on this song. Holy shit. You know? nobody can ever question at this time in his career Vinnie Vincent's guitar playing skills because he lays it down.
Oh, totally. Not going to get any argument from me.
All right. You got anything to add before we rip it out here?
He rocks, man.
Totally does. So from 1986, this is a great way to kick off the debut album. It's the Vinnie Vincent Invasion with Boys Are Gonna Rock. And we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Long Shots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Long Shots Off Track Betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.